Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Sports talk that says what you're thinking, but just too afraid to say. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, it is Joey Vendetta. It's 9:01. Are we going to get some showers later? We need them. It's so muggy. It's like the wet blanket outside. It's still going to be hot, but hopefully we get some showers and it cools us off. 29 and sunny tomorrow? Woo! Yeah. Saturday, 27 and partly cloudy. May get some showers on Sunday. What's on the program today? What are we talking about? Well, they released a new Pokemon Go, where there's more strategy involved. But we're not going to talk about that. The post office might go on strike. I like postal workers. But we're not going to really talk about that either. We're going to talk sports and how it relates to life. You're not happy today about Marco Estrada. Everyone's talking about the six-man rotation and whether that affected him. Look, he had one of those nights. That was no fun last night. That sucked. Another just about sellout crowd. I don't know if it was officially announced as a sellout, but it may as well be a sellout. We'll talk a ton of Blue Jays. We have some fabulous guests for you. But more importantly, we need you to be involved in the program. We need your involvement. Make the show better. Make it great. I like to think it's good when I do this. I like to think I'm here to entertain you, to have some fun. At Radio Vendetta on Twitter, I have a 94% read rate. I enjoy getting tweets. You know what I enjoy more? I enjoy the fact that the Toronto FC are in first place.
Hi, this is Josie Altidore, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fans.
Did you hear me, folks? The Toronto FC, the soccer team in the MLS that has, in my opinion, the best fans in Toronto, are in first place.
This is Greg Vanney from Toronto FC, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're going to have Brendan Rodney on, won a bronze medal in the Olympics, running. That's got to be a good calling card, right? What do you think Usain Bolt does as his opening line? You see the pictures of him? Wasn't his girlfriend. He's got a smoke show girlfriend, right? And like every other guy, he just can't not talk to other girls. He can't talk to other women. And speaking of women, Dawn Braid has been named as the first female coach in the NHL. She's a full-time skating instructor for the Arizona Coyotes. That's progress. But getting back to Usain Bolt, the dude cannot not talk to other women, right? He did it in London, but now social media is even further proliferated. We have further social media proliferation. Hold on a second. Gary Cook says, tweet me when you're done leading show off with TFC talk and I'll tune back in. Gary, you need to expand your pantheon of sports excitement. And I think you should go to a TFC game. That's just my opinion. We'll talk a little bit about that. Speaking of soccer, Hope Solo. I mean, talk about the worst name ever. Hope. How about Hopeless? Hopeless Solo. She makes, in my opinion, Ryan Lochte look like a good dude. By the way, Ryan Lochte, the disgraced swimmer who lost all his endorsements, between $2 and $3 million worth, may appear on Dancing with the Stars. Because that's what I want to see. Ryan Lochte on Dancing with the Stars. All right, guests on the program, as I said. Hour number three, Brendan Rodney, Canadian Olympic sprinter. We'll also be joined by Kevin Colbert. He's the general manager of the perennial Super Bowl contending Pittsburgh Steelers, who, despite the fact that they'll be missing Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant, will still have potentially the most explosive offense in the National Football League. John Angelos will join us, the Baltimore Orioles, placing Chris Tillman on the DL, which is good news for the Blue Jays and bad news for the Orioles. He's their best pitcher. And we will be joined by Daryl Sittler this hour. One of the greatest Leafs of all time. He's received so many accolades and awards. When I was a kid, Daryl Sittler was the guy. Right? I was after Dave Keon. Sittler was in my wheelhouse, was in the sweet spot. So when I was a kid, Daryl Sittler, the memories are all Daryl Sittler growing up as a young Maple Leaf fan. Talk to him as well. We'll touch upon this Joey Bosa story. Do you know who Joey Bosa is? Well, he was a stud linebacker at Ohio State. But Joey Bosa has this thing where, well, he listened to his mom. Let me tell you something about listening to your mom. It's okay to listen to your mom when you're a kid. You should listen to your mom. Moms have your best interest at heart. Here's when you don't listen to your mom. When you're negotiating your first NFL contract. Joey Bosa is a holdout with the San Diego Chargers, right? He's a defensive end at Ohio State. He was kind of like a hybrid. He played defensive end, but he would stand up pass rush a lot, drop back into coverage. The Chargers, who are notorious curmudgeons when it comes to negotiating, they've basically taken the stance that take what we offer you or you're going to sit the whole season, which is terrible if you're an athlete. There's nothing worse than sitting an entire season. Nothing. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Josh Norman, I didn't get to that. Josh Norman is a mouthpiece. Hey, so am I. But I get paid to be a mouthpiece. Wait a second, so does he. Why? Well, because Fox Sports 1 is paying him this year to report for them while he's a player. I find that kind of odd. I find it odd that if you're a current professional player, that you're also a reporter for a network. If someone knows of an occurrence or an instance or a situation like that, Scott P. tweets in, at S. Pablo 12, why are so many non-TFC fans so critical of TSC and MLS? There's been so much improvement lately in both. No question. I have no problem with MLS at all. There are world-class athletes in MLS. In last night's game, the TFC hung on to win. I'm going to talk Blue Jays. We'll talk tons of Blue Jays. But I'm going to give TFC their due. It's August, and they're in first place. I'll probably get Vanny on the show because he's one of my favorite guests. The TFC manager, Greg Vanny, one of the best guests we have. Why? Because he actually says things. It's not the stock answer. He actually speaks from his heart. He doesn't just say the same thing over and over in a different way, which gets kind of boring. Because after all, this is entertainment. Speaking of entertainment, we want you to be involved in this program. You know that. It's very important. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your Rogers cell phone. The Toronto Blue Jays, last night, it was ugly. Period. Let's move on, shall we? Nothing went right for Marco Estrada. Even, and this is funny because Albert Pujols, who you think isn't having a great season, but really is having a great season. He has batting averages of 250 or whatever it is, 257. He's fourth in RBIs. Still got 22 home runs. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Let's just say it. He is. Overall, all around. If you watched Mike Trout every day, you would know that Mike Trout, this guy's five tool, period. End of story. He's not a tool. Me think I'm a tool, but I don't particularly care. Ryan Barnes, soccer blows. So does the wind, Ryan. But talking about Estrada's night last night, he gave up a career-high 10 hits. He allowed 6 runs. He got beat up. And we're hearing these discussions about the rotation. Look, when the Jays brought in Liriano, and they optioned Sanchez for his own good and for the good of the team, for the long-term good of the team. Because a guy going to Dunedin to work with a high-performance team is not a bad thing at this point in the season when he's pitched 156 innings, which is a career high for him. We can all prognosticate and speculate on whether his arm was going to blow out or not. And there are examples of guys. We know the examples. I mean, Syndergaard wobbled a bit about a month ago, said he might have had dead arm. He's since come back. The Mets are happy about it. You look at pitchers that, look, at the end of the day, if you manage your asset for the benefit of the asset, then you can't really be faulted. How can you be faulted if you're the Toronto Blue Jays? Well, you can be faulted in the sense that you vacillated on how you were going to do this. You brought in Liriano. The pitching staff was mildly unsettled by it, in my opinion. But do we really think that we see the stats, right? You watch the stats. On 4 days rest, Estrada's better than he is on 5 and 6 days rest. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, you're listening to Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. He's here at noon with Kevin Barker for Baseball Central. You know that this is going to be a big topic. Blue Jays in the third of three tonight. Jared Weaver, who's not having a great season, but has been a great pitcher in the past. So let's not count our chickens against Jay Happ, it's astonishing. He's won 17 games. He's going for his major league leading 18th win tonight. You think it's going to be sold out at Rogers Center? Damn straight. We're going to go to the phones here. Travis, who do we have on the line again? Chris in Stony Creek. How you doing, pal?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call,
man. Of course.
Can I just make one comment about the MLS before I get to the Jays quickly?
Of course. Okay.
My only problem with the MLS, to be honest with you, is when people chime in on the MLS and they're critical of it because it's not as good as the European leagues. Like, there's tons of leagues all over the world that, you know, are not as good as the European league, but people, you know, enjoy them and they watch them for what they are. So I think people should just understand that the MLS is what it is. There's great players there, but you're comparing it against a league where they're going and spending, $108 million to transfer.
Oh, no. The transfer,
right?
Listen, the transfer fees and salaries in soccer in Europe are mind-boggling. And I'm just going to give you this analogy when it comes to MLS and TFC. Are there any other baseball leagues other than Japan? I guess Japan is kind of, it's analogous, right? But are there any baseball leagues in Italy or in England or in Portugal? No, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well, soccer is the most popular sport in the world, by far, bar none.
Yep.
So
sure. This
is the North American version of it. And 15 years ago, not so great. Right now, pretty good. And we have the first place team in the Eastern Conference, not in the league, but in the Eastern Conference, with some pretty exciting players and arguably the most exciting player ever in MLS in Giovinco. So why would you be mad about that?
And if I could just add one more quick point, like, and this is coming from a person that watches MLS soccer very rarely. I watch a lot of European soccer, so it's not like I'm a big MLS pumper or a big MLS pusher, you know what I mean? I just don't understand when people want the MLS to be like the EPL or the Italian league or those leagues. Like, those leagues, you know, there's farm systems, you know, leagues out the world that these players come from, and they enjoy it very much. Like, you watch the Argentinian league, they get, you know, 70, 80,000 people, and they're going crazy, and they love the soccer, man. So people just need to enjoy it for what it is. You know what I mean?
Listen, all I'm going to say to you, and we'll talk Blue Jays in a second here, I go to TFC games. I'm entertained. I have a good time. I love the fans. I love the environment. And if you don't go, don't worry about it. You don't need to. But if you haven't gone and you go, I guarantee you that you will say, wow, that was a lot of fun. It's just that simple.
Okay, so just quickly about the Jays comment, and this is kind of more of a overall picture of them. you know, obviously I'm being very critical before I even get to my point, but when we're talking about the Jays, we're talking about the Jays wanting to win the World Series, not make the playoffs or win a round or two or win a couple of games. So I'm being critical right off the hop, right? But one of the things that kind of, you know, sparked my brain yesterday when I was watching the game was, outside of a couple of guys in the pen, you know, Biagini, Osuna, Grilly, you know, I really feel that I have no faith in some of the other guys coming out of the pen. And when you watch playoff baseball, it's not out of the norm, or it's pretty normal sometimes to see a starting pitcher go 5-6 innings, you know what I mean, and throw 95 pitches, and then you have to kind of bridge 5, 6, and 7 before you get to your guys for 8 and 9. So I just feel that, you know, outside of a couple of guys in the pen, I really feel there's a drop off there. So
look, here's the thing. The reason the Baltimore Orioles are still in this is because of their relief staff, their relief pitchers. That's why, and they're hitting. No question, but take that for granted, right? If you look at Major League Baseball relief staffs, as far as closers, yeah, I'll put Osuna in there. I'll put Osuna in there with just about anybody. I'm not worried about that, right? But if you look at the best teams in baseball, look at what the Cubs went out and did. Cubs had, you know, look at the Dodgers, right? Zach Britton in Baltimore. Baltimore's in the race. Kenley Jansen in L.A. L.A. beat the Giants again last night, despite the fact that the L.A. Dodgers have set a major league record for injured players this season. They set a major league record all time for injured players. All time in the history of baseball. No team has had more injured players than the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yet, they're still in first place. And they've beaten the Giants 2 in a row. I mean, Josh Reddick hurt his finger in a hotel room door. He was opening the door for room service, and he jammed his finger. What an idiot. The Dodgers, first place. Why? Relief pitching and hitting. And they got guys having career years. They don't crush the ball. They're not a home run smashing team. I mean, let's look at this. You know, Miller and Betances with the Yankees were great. Now, Betances is in Chicago. I mean, would you have liked Mark Melanson? Sure. But you didn't get him. And the Blue Jay bullpen is it's a patchwork. And that's what it is. It's a patchwork, and I don't know that patchwork, especially if you don't get the starting pitching that this team has been getting, and don't fool yourself. The lack of injuries this year, that it's a gift. It's an absolute gift that this pitching staff has been as healthy as it is. Hell, the only injured player right now with the Jays of significance is Bautista, and he's probably coming back tonight. So injury-wise, it hasn't been a factor. Let's go to Ender in Toronto. Ender, how you doing today? You watched that game last night. You can't be happy.
Oh, I did. I've been watching for 20 years. I have a couple of statements I wanted to make and a question I wanted to ask you, Joey. I'm so happy you're on this morning.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll start off by saying I'm a diehard fan. I was there in 92 when they won. I ran out on the field, jumped on the center field wall. So I'm a fan. But, man, it's getting so frustrating to listen to see this. I don't think anybody could ever call in and say anything about the pitching this year. I don't even care if Strada had 2 bad starts in a row again. The pitching has saved our bacon. When's the last time that hitting bailed us out? God forbid we get down and we can't just pick up our pitchers the next couple of innings. It's an all-for-nothing team with these home runs. It's getting scary because come playoff time, you know, the small ball comes into play. And my kind of question to you was, really realistically as a fan, I love them, but where do you think we're going to end off in the standings? And I got one of my really good friends I text every single night after the game. Her name's Jenny. I know she's listening because I told her to. And she says that I got a crappy attitude towards the Jays. She's got faith. My brother tells me the same thing. Do I have a crappy attitude towards this team like some other fans, Joey?
Now, I think that as a Toronto sports fan, and thank you for the call, here's the thing with Toronto sports fans. We're always looking for the bottom to fall out. We just are. And I think that's because the city has been disappointed so many times. And you can chime in on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. Hit me up. You know it's going to get read. As I say, a 94% read rate. Actually dropped down to 92.1 yesterday. I have to get it back up today. So we might get Dylan Strome on the phone. He's doing the BioSteel camp. We just like get guys randomly. You know what I want to do? I want to call the Leaf store. What's it called? Real Sports, right? Is it called Real Sports? Because I think that's a bar now. Yeah, Real Sports Apparel. I want to see how their new jersey sales are going. I got an email from the Leafs on a jersey presale. I know we were talking about the Blue Jays, but I'm sorry. Because it just came into my head to talk about this. Right? When I play pickup hockey or I play baseball, play hardball occasionally, or pickup basketball, I always wear a Toronto jersey. I'm from Toronto, so I'll wear Leaf stuff. So the Leafs are trying to sell me one of the new jerseys, right? Are you going to get an Austin Matthews jersey? We're going to have Daryl Sittler on, by the way, in the next segment. I'm going to ask Daryl if he's got the new Leaf jersey. I think he was modeling it yesterday. But I played pickup last night with some guys, Portuguese dudes in the West End. It's two Portuguese guys on my line, and I'm Italian, so we called the line the Chop Chop Wop line. But since I was the best player on the line, I think we should have called it the Wop Chop Chop line. We skated with this kid, another Portuguese kid who's a prospect in Grand Rapids. I think Chris Draper signed him. His last name's Santos. I love kids who let up and don't play when they're playing pickup with a bunch of old dudes as hard as they can. I find that to be very respectful. But anyway, we'll ask Sittler about the new Leaf jerseys because I got an email about a presale. A presale for a jersey. Think about that. That's balls. You think there's going to be that much demand for the jersey that I have to have a presale? What are you snorting when you make that decision? Flocka or bath salts? All right, back to the Jays. We've got some more callers. Let's go to Tom in Waterloo. Tom, how are you today? Tom, are you there? Earth to Tom. Major Tom. It's okay. I didn't like his topic anyway. I think he disagreed with me that this is a patchwork bullpen. Really? Has this bullpen been set from the beginning of the season? I think not. So then how's it not a patchwork bullpen? Yeah, okay, as soon as you're closer. Right? I agree with that. And Grilly's been great. Cecil was good, but hasn't been. Benoit's been fine. Feldman, Aaron Loop, Sounds like patchwork to me. Let's take one more caller before we get Dylan Strome. Let's go to Jerry in St. Catharines. Jerry, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's 9:24. It's a Thursday. How are you today?
Joey, first-time caller.
Nice. Good to have you on.
All the time when I'm driving, and love it. I don't always agree, but I love the interaction because everybody has an opinion, just like everybody has a butthole.
Yeah. Great, right? Great band, Butthole Surfers. Okay, we got to get Dylan Strome on the line. What's on your mind, pal?
My point is this. Back when Henke pitched for us, I remember if he was more than 3 days rest, his ball was flat because he was too strong. And he got hit hard. He needed no more than 3 days rest, otherwise he was buggered. And I have a feeling that we have the same problem with Estrada. He seems... And it's a hard three-game sample is tough to take, but it seems that if he has too much rest, he doesn't have the effects that he has on the pitches that he wants to throw. And it's a thought. You take it. I'm off.
We're going to get Dylan Strome on to answer your question there or address what you just said. Look, if this team doesn't get deep starting pitching, I don't know how far it's going to go in the playoffs. We'll talk about this further this morning, but right now we welcome a gentleman that puts a lot of pressure on himself. I think that there's pressure on athletes because of where they play and what team they play for and the circumstances. But I don't think that there's more pressure on an athlete than what generally will come from that athlete himself. Dylan Strome of the Arizona Coyotes is with us. Dylan, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Are you a Jays fan?
I'm a Huge Jays fan.
All right, so last night, Estrada goes out. It looks like he has good stuff, but he gets hit. Trout and Pujols both hit him well. Pujols hasn't, you know, didn't hit R.A. Dickey in his career, but apparently he's pretty good with Estrada. What do you think of the current situation with Jays? And we know they can hit the ball. Maybe not the offense has been as great as it was last year. Great starting pitching, and the bullpen's kind of great, good, not so good.
I think it's a small sample size, to be honest. I think Estrada's been great all year. I think, you know, a couple games is not, you know, enough to judge, you know, a guy's full season. I mean, I think 2 weeks ago we were talking like he was, you know, a Cy Young candidate. So, you know, with the stuff he throws all year, I think he'll be fine.
All right, let's talk about you and your career and this season coming up. And, of course, you're at the BioSteel camp. You got the finals today, and it's 9:30, so I think the finals are starting in, or the tournament's starting in like half an hour or something. Where are you in terms of the standings, and give us the scenario that's happening today?
I think this all week it was just more working out and getting us some different people on the ice, and we got to learn some new things, and we got you know, taught a few new things that I've never been shown before. So I know it's pretty cool. And no, but today is all about the games. And I think there's three games a team, and then, you know, whoever's the best two teams go to the finals. I think it's at 12:30. So should be pretty fun. And I think it's you know, streamed live online somewhere. And I know there's a lot of fans here. So I know I've never played in one before, but you know, I think it's gonna be pretty fun.
You can follow him on Twitter at Stromer19, and it's actually streamed live on Sportsnet. So if you want to go to sportsnet.ca, you can actually watch the BioSteel Camp round robin tournament that will result in a lucky group of individuals hoisting the BioSteel Cup. Have you seen the cup? You're not allowed to look at the cup, are you, until you win it?
I've seen a picture of it. I haven't actually seen it in person. So, you know, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. And, you know, hopefully Team Del Zotto, you know, gets to hoist the trophy at the end.
Tell Del Zotto I say hi. I've known him for a long time, and he's as they say in the dressing room, he's a beauty, right?
Yes, he is. He's a really, really, really nice guy.
So, all right. So if you win the BioSteel Cup, what are you going to do with your day with the cup? You're going to take it around to hospitals?
I don't think I'm going to do much. I mean, I think, you know, let the captain decide what to do. So we'll give it to him.
You're going to give it back and say, thanks. This was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So as far as your career goes, you've been skating with Connor McDavid, who was a teammate of yours at the camp, and you had a strong 2015-16 camp with the Coyotes. You didn't make the squad. You returned to the OHL without a 9-game trial. Look, you tore up the league. It's kind of what happened, same thing that happened with Jonathan Drouin. His situation was pretty similar. But you maintained a really good attitude about it. A lot of guys would sulk, and they would feel that they were hard done by, but you maintained a good attitude. How important was that?
I think it's really important, I think, for a couple of reasons. You know, the first one is definitely to show to your teammates back in your junior team that you know, you still want to be a part of their team, and you know, you still are a big part of their team. And you know, I think that was big for myself. You know, going back there, being named captain was definitely you know, something I wanted to be for a while. And you know, the coach and I had really good conversations, and you know, he was happy that I was coming back, and you know, I was happy to go back and help out some of the younger guys get drafted. And you know, I think, you know, I got a couple really, really good friends, and you know, our whole team was really close. So I think it just, for myself going back, was great for the whole team. And you know, like I've said before, I think I want to play in the NHL for a really long time. And you know, if the Coyotes feel that that's best for me to go back to junior, you know, that's obviously what I'm going to do, and I'm going to put, you know, my best foot forward to prove to them that you know, that I do want to play in the NHL for a long time. And you know, so like I said, if they feel that that's my my best option, then you know, I went back there and I did as best as I could, and tried to help my team as best as possible to win the championship.
Okay, for Dylan Strome, you said you learned something new or a couple of new things at the BioSteel camp. Can you share what that was or what they were?
There was a guy named Yari. I'm not Yari, something with a B is last name. I think it's some sort of European language, so I'm not sure the last name, but he's a one of a kind. He's yelling on the ice. He's pretty loud. You can't really understand him, but he has some great drills that we learned and that we did. It was you know, there's sticks all over the ice. There's tires. There's all sorts of things. So we got to go through some of the patterns that he likes to show, and I think that was pretty cool. That was probably one of the coolest things I've learned here.
Again, on Twitter, at Stromer19, thanks a lot for doing this, Dylan. Good luck this season, and all the best with the Coyotes in Arizona.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, great to have him. Dylan Strome, good kid, as you heard. Great attitude. Speaking of attitudes, Blue Jay fans, your attitude can't be good today after last night's game, but it's one of those ones where you just forget. Look, it's not the bullpen's fault last night. We know that. That was just a mop-up job last night. But Estrada, since they've jumbled the rotation, I don't mean jumbled it in order, but in terms of going to the six-man thing and then going back down, we don't have, like, the Cubs to with Aroldis Chapman. Right? Would I have loved to get Dellin Betances? Yeah, but the Yankees, that was the guy they were keeping. Andrew Miller, sure, he would have been great. Cleveland's been great. Right, all you Shapiro fans? Or Shapiro? Or Ross Atkins fans? Yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, that's a good baseball team. Yeah, I wonder who built that. We're going to take some more Blue Jay calls in hour number two. But up next, we're going to talk to a guy that's pretty much been immortalized in every way you possibly can in this city. When we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show with special guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
20 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, hour number three. A really fast man. He anchored the third leg. Can you anchor the third leg? I got a third leg. Kind of like Usain Bolt. Brendan Rodney will be on the show. He won Olympic bronze with Team Canada in the 4x100. Can you imagine if he had to run the 4x400? Ooh. I can barely pull it together to get here in the morning. As well, in hour number two, John Angelos from the Baltimore Orioles. He runs the team. Who owns the team? Hones. That's like my favorite line from Slapshot. And also the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers will join us, Kevin Colbert. We'll talk some more Blue Jays. TFC fans are chiming in hard. TFC's in first place in the Eastern Conference, second place overall after a big win last night in Orlando. But it's my pleasure now to be joined by a gentleman that I've admired for many years. I've admired him on multiple levels. It goes without saying that he was a phenomenal hockey player. But I always admired the way he carried himself as a professional. And in an era where you see so many missteps with professional athletes, this guy is a great example of how not to make those. We're joined by Toronto Maple Leaf legend, Daryl Sittler. Daryl, thank you very much for doing this. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being on the show. And you are now the latest to be immortalized on the Walk of Fame, along with Jeannie Becker, Jason Priestley, and several others who were Al Waxman, a guy that I was talking about yesterday when I was a kid growing up watching The King of Kensington. Did you watch The King of Kensington when you were a young man?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't watch a whole lot of TV back then, but I happened to meet Al over a number of different occasions when we were doing kind of celebrity events. Nice man. Sorry that he passed away in 2001, though.
So the Walk of Fame is something that, look, you've pretty much received every honor that you can get, right? Now you're being immortalized with other Canadians, Al Waxman and Jeannie Becker and Deepa Mehta, a Canadian filmmaker and actor Jason Priestley. And you've received so many honors, including the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1989. Your number 27 was honored in 2003. And you were added to the Maple Leafs Legends Row in 2014. As you accumulate these honors throughout your life and your post-playing career, what do they mean to you? Each one different? Do you look at them differently? Do they make you feel differently at different times?
Well, yeah, each one of them is different. You know, I retired in 85 and then 89, elected the Hall of Fame. When I got that call from Jim Gregory, it was pretty special. You know, you do something you love doing, and while you're doing it, I guess you don't expect these sorts of things to happen afterwards. But when they do, it's quite an honor. When the Leafs recognized me putting the banner up, that was a special night because my wife had passed away from cancer, and I asked the Leafs to put her name on the banner, which they did. It was pretty emotional for myself, my family, and the fans that were watching it. So that was pretty special. Then when they announced the Legends role, which is a few years ago, to be have your statue, one of the first guys to be on it with Johnny Bauer and Teeter Kennedy, Brendan Shanahan told us about it. It was, again, nice. I mean, it's nice that when fans come to the city of Toronto, whether you're from Canada or outside the country, you can go down there and see the Leafs that played over the years. So to be a part of that is special. Now to be honored on Canada's Walk of Fame, I look at looking at the list of Canadians in all different careers and fields that have been on the Walk of Fame. It's pretty special. It'll be there forever amongst some great people that I admired as a kid. John Beliveau was there. Terry Fox was pretty special in my life. I love Shania Twain, so it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that event on October the 6th for sure.
Yeah, you talk about Terry Fox because obviously you just mentioned, your wife and her battle with cancer, and we know how many people are affected by it. And Terry Fox, arguably one of the most courageous things in the history of Canada, what he did. It was worldwide at a time when things going worldwide involved newspapers and traditional media, and it took days and weeks for stories to get out. It's not like now. Talk about your relationship with him and that time in your life.
Well, I was playing for the Leafs at the time, and I followed Terry's run just kind of in admiration to think this guy lost his leg to cancer. He's early 20s, and he's going to run 26 miles every day. I mean, not many people run 26 miles once in their life, but he was going to do it on one leg. So it was pretty touching and inspirational to me when I'd heard that story. So I followed him, and then I just got a call kind of out of the blue from the people of the Ontario Cancer Society. And when they met Terry at the border, the Ontario-Quebec border, they asked if there's anything special that they could do for him. And one of his requests was possibly having the opportunity to meet me. So when they called me and said, hey, Terry would love to meet you, hey, that was pretty special for me. I ran with Terry down University Avenue into the, Nathan Phillips Square. The streets were lined with people. There was, 10,000, 15,000 there. I presented him with my All-Star jersey. I played in the All-Star game that year. But I got to know Terry from that day forward. And what I admired most about him, obviously his courage, but more importantly, his humility and what he was doing for other people, even though he had this tragedy in his life. And he's inspired me. His picture still sits in my home. I don't go by it a day without looking at it to think, hey, this guy can do what he did in such a short period of time in his life to inspire and raise awareness and money for others. And hey, the little bit I do is really not much, but he's one of my all-time heroes for sure.
Daryl Sittler is our guest, Toronto Maple Leaf legend. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Joey Vendetta, and it's a pleasure to have him on the program. He's being immortalized in Canada's Walk of Fame this year, along with a stellar class of individuals. Daryl, I was talking about this yesterday, your goal in 1976, and I mistakenly said Yuri Sirra. I had a brain cramp because, of course, he played for the Leafs. He scored. I'm sure you scored on Yuri Sirra as well, but it was Vladimir Zorilla, and there's that kind of – take us back to that goal when – because I remember it, right? I watched it. I was 11 years old. I was watching it live, and you faked the shot and then went around him. Did you have that in your arsenal of moves? Did you have a book on him? Why did you do that at that time?
Well, what had happened throughout the series, I mean, the Czechs were playing really well. Everybody kind of expected the Russians and the Canadians to be in the finals, but the Czechs got there because of Zorilla. He was playing phenomenal, but he was one of those colorful guys, and when you were coming down the wing, he came way out of his net to challenge you. He gambled that you would have your head down and you could poke check you or whatever. So we had talked about that in the dressing room. Going into overtime, start overtime, Don Cherry, one of our coaches, had come through the dressing room. He'd mentioned, hey, guys, if you get a chance on Zorilla coming down the wing, make sure you look up because he'll be coming out. So when you're playing the game, everything kind of happens. You just do whatever instinctively you do as a player. And I dumped it by the defenseman. I look up and I see Zorilla coming out. And No, it was a fairly sharp angle, but when I put it in the net, that was the greatest moment of my career. You know, we won the Canada Cup, the first Canada Cup, score the overtime goal, and to be a part of it was something I'll always remember. And I remember Harold Ballard answering the phones next day, the home of Maple Leaf, or the home of the Maple Leaf Gardens, the home of Daryl Sutter. So that was always something that stuck out in my mind, too. To do it as a Maple Leaf and a Canadian, and look at it back 40 years ago, it's hard to believe the time has flown by, but we've got the World Cup coming up here, and somebody else will be our hero possibly this year again. So it's great when we have these international competitions.
In his career, 1,096 games played, 484 goals, 637 assists, 1,121 points, and didn't shy away from the rough stuff. Didn't initiate it, but with almost 1,000 penalty minutes, Daryl Sutter was never a shrinking violet. And Daryl, something that I remember when I was a kid was, I think the date was December 29th, 1979, seeing the cover of the newspaper that Lanny McDonald had been traded. And it was back then, it was a drama. It was a real life drama in Toronto. I will never forget it because it affected everybody in this city. And I think it affected you the most. Tell us about that time.
Well, those were difficult and challenging times. I mean, what it comes right down to, each player, they just want to do their job and play hockey, something they love doing, help their team win and be a part of that. We went through some difficult challenges when Punchin Black became the general manager. I was a vice president of the players union. I had no trade contract, pretty popular with the fans and my teammates. And Punch wanted to challenge myself and the other players on different issues to me that were, you know, nonsensical, really. And I've always been a believer to stand up what you believe is right. And I did that not in a mean and vindictive way, just that it was right. And through that, it became huge headlines, controversy, you know, banning me from going on Hockey Night in Canada, wanted to stop me from going on Showdown, issues like that. And it wasn't much fun playing under those circumstances. And then when he traded, I think, 11 guys off that team that had knocked the Islanders out about a year or two before that, you know, guys like Tiger Williams and Jerry Butler, Patty Buttet, and then Lanny. I mean, we all know the classy guy Lanny is, the character of a true gentleman and a player. And I think Punch probably traded him out of spite, and I felt bad for Lanny having to go through that. And that's when I took the C off, not something that I was proud to do, but I thought it was right to do at the time because Punch really didn't care that I was a captain and recognized me. It was always, we were battling over things that were, again, really nonsensical. So I just said, hey, listen, I'm just going to go play hockey, forget all this other stuff, and that's what I did. So not a good time in the Leaf history, but if you look at, hey, I respect Punch for the cups he's won in the 50s and the 60s, but times had changed, and he was just like a military army sergeant back in the 50s and didn't want to recognize the union and the rights of the players. So it wasn't much fun back then.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's end on a positive note. The Leafs are heading in the right direction. We got about a minute here, and Austin Matthews, a guy that looks like he's going to be an absolute stud. It's ironic that he's an American and not a Canadian, but the Leafs don't have a captain, and you were the captain of the Leafs, and as you just described, you took the C off for your reasons and reasons that you believed in, and borne out over time, you were right. How important is having a captain on the team? Do you think the Leafs should name a captain this year, or do you think it's okay to go a season without a captain?
Well, I look at the management we have in Brendan and Lou Lamoriello, obviously, Mike Babcock and his staff. I think truly, if they feel it's the right person for that role, then they will make that decision and that choice. And if they don't, they'd probably go without one. So to me, you just don't name a captain,
just to have one.
Just to have one. You do it because you want him to be the right person. And having said that, to be the captain in Toronto, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it, both on and off the ice. And, you know, I thought Dion Phaneuf, he understood what the role was and was positive in the community. When you have a winning team, being the captain, everybody looks at you as a great leader. And when your team's not winning, then vice versa, they kind of blame you as the leader, and basically you're still the same person. So hopefully they find the right guy. We've got a great nucleus of young players coming up, and we want to see them all develop and grow so that we can all go down there and watch some entertaining hockey, but maybe have a shot at making the playoffs and winning the cup someday. And that's kind of the goal for everybody.
Daryl, thank you for doing this. It was a thrill to have you on the show, and congratulations on the honor with Canada's Walk of Fame. Greatly deserved, along with all the other honors you've received. And thank you again for taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, of course. Daryl Sittler, one of the all-time greats, and more importantly, one of the all-time greats off the ice. And you heard it. You can hear it in his voice. A guy that's a stand-up guy and a man that believes in his convictions and has done a great job representing the Toronto Maple Leafs throughout his career. We're going to take a break and come back and take some more calls on your Toronto Blue Jays. Rough outing last night for Estrada. Jose Bautista looks like he's coming back tonight. And we'll also be joined by the owner of the Baltimore Orioles when we return.